top 10%, the top 10%. Officers love to be rated in the top 10%. If you get a top block, then you're in the top 10%. How many would like to graduate from college? Students in the top 10%. How many think that graduating from college in the top 10% of your class will help you in the future? Yeah, there's a few hands. Okay, we're just going to relax and talk tonight. All right. Top 10% of income earners. How'd you like to be in the top 10% of income earners in your field? That'd be a great top 10% category. How about the top 10% of athletes? Don't we normally do that? We figure out who are the top 10% of athletes. The scores, top 10%. Our story tonight in Luke chapter 17 has a top 10% as well. A top 10%. I think this is the top 10% that God desires for all of us to be in. Luke chapter 17, the top 10%. Now, before I forget, after the evening service, we'll have our first laying out or distribution or the little angels and what do you think? Put those things on the tree. What do they call? Ornaments. All right. Yeah, those things on the tree, little cardboard things. All right, what's on these? These are the gifts that need to be purchased to help for the church. These are the bicycle, the socks, the coat. They're written out on these little cards, and they're going to be on the table out in the narthex. Some of you are going to go shopping on that Black Friday, early Thursday, whenever it starts now. You know, it's starting earlier and earlier. And maybe you want to buy one of these gifts. They're going to be available tonight after the service in the narthex if you want to pick one out and go shopping on Friday. It came to pass in verse number 11, as Jesus went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the middle of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a particular or certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. Leprosy was a chronic disease caused by a particular bacteria and characterized by a formation of nodules and molecules that would enlarge and spread all over your skin. It was accompanied by a loss of sensation with an eventual paralysis. The muscle would begin to waste so much that it would just flake off your body. Chunks of muscle dropping off of your body. This created a significant amount of deformities on these human beings. The disease was so contagious that lepers were forced to live outside of where everyone else would live. They were kept at a distance and always. They were required to announce their leprosy. They want to go into Walmart, and so they have to give you a fair warning. So they begin, leper, leper. Can you imagine having to call attention to the fact that you have a disease? And then people would move away from you. Any ideas what that would be like to live like that? Can you even for a moment conceive of what it would be like to be such an outcast? Everywhere you go, people move away from you. And the only people that you can have contact with are other lepers. What a difficult situation that would be, wouldn't it? How miserable that must have been. So the 10 lepers stood afar off. And in verse 13, they lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You understand that the reason they're asking for mercy is they believe that there must have been a particular sin in their life that caused this leprosy. That was very common in Jewish thought. You remember the scenario in which the blind man, the situation with the blind man, and they wanted to know, is it the father's sin, the mother's sin, is it his sin? I mean, there must have been a particular sin that caused this. And so obviously, in order to be healed, I need mercy from God. So they call out for mercy. And when Jesus saw them, he said unto them, go show. They had to take steps of faith. Go show. They were obligated to demonstrate their faith in Christ by taking steps of obedience. I'm reminded of when they crossed the Jordan River, they had to put their foot in the water. They had to believe, and their belief must be manifested in the way they lived their life. Luke records, look in verse 13 in your Bible, and look at the way Luke records this. Look at the particular structure of words as he says, as they went, they were cleansed. See it? As they went. I'm immediately reminded of James chapter 2. We were in James chapter 2 a little while ago. We were struggling with that language of faith and works, and which is it, you know? And he says here that you can't tell they believe until they start walking to where? To the priest. They have to go find a priest. Only a Jewish priest can declare that they're clean. Now think about the freedom that would be released into their life when someone said, you're healed. Imagine that. The first day they get to go to a grocery store and they don't have to scream, leper, leper, leper. Imagine that. Now I want you to think about a different perspective. Think about 3.5 years Jesus was on this earth, and these aren't the only lepers that he healed, obviously. We know that to be true. I mean, he's healing all over the place. So now you're a Jewish priest, and people just keep showing up to you that are healed. Now, you've been a Jewish priest for 25 years, and for the first 20 years of your life, you may have saw one or two cases healed in your entire life. And suddenly, during this window of time, they just keep showing up, Dick. What are you going to begin to think? Talk to me, church. What are you going to begin to think? What's going on? Who's here? Why are all these people getting healed? Think for a moment of what a testimony that must have been to the Messiah's here. Because were the Jews looking for the Messiah? The answer is yes. Sure they were. They were looking for the Messiah. And they knew that the Messiah would come with great healing powers. And so suddenly lepers are being healed left and right all over the place. And they keep showing up. I can't help but to wonder, is that the connection that we get with Nicodemus? Who says, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the works that thou doest. Isn't there a reputation developing everywhere? Aren't people becoming more and more accountable because people are being healed? So he says, go show yourselves unto the priest. And then we get to verse 15. And one of them, just one. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Well, you know he wasn't a Baptist. You know that. He might have been an old-timey Baptist, like, you know, back in the day, an old-timey one. A loud voice. With a loud voice, he glorified God. Did you see it? It's very particular. With a loud voice, he glorified God. I just want to remind you tonight for just a moment without preaching that this man used words to glorify God. So why don't you pause right now and with a loud voice, glorify God. How many times have you heard, well, this thing with God and me, it's just between me and him. Not this leper. Not this leper. How many times have you heard that nonsense religion is a private thing? You know, he just kind of has his own little... Wait a minute. Do you realize the reason we were given a mouth was to glorify God? Amen. Was to praise God? Did God have to give us a mouth?
No.
And he didn't give us a mouth to cheer for the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day.
Amen.
He didn't. That may be a secondary or a tertiary.
Oh, amen.
Yeah. I want to ask you tonight, and I suspect that because you're here, and you could have been any number of places, I mean, I recognize that you probably do this. So this is not new information to you. This is the coach reminding you of the fundamentals of the game. That's all I'm doing. You're not learning anything new tonight. You're just getting a reminder that the reason we were saved from sin was to glorify God with our mouths. That we're to open our mouth and voice to God praise. And then I want to draw to your attention in particular, the very next thing that we read is he fell down on his feet, on his face at his feet. You see it there? He fell down on his face at his feet. So now I see the entire body is involved in this act of glorifying God. The whole body. I mean, he may have been clapping his hands. He may have been raising his hands. In this case, he fell down at his feet. And I need to remind you that when other men fall to the feet of the apostles, they immediately say to them, get up. Like in Acts 10 with Peter, get up. I too am a man. So if Christ was also a man, why didn't he do the same exact thing? But he lets him stay down there. Why? Because he is God. And he is worthy of this worship. So tonight I've been reminded that I need to use my voice to communicate words that glorify God. And I've been reminded that there needs to be things that I do with my body that communicate praise to God. That might be praying like that. That might be bowing like this. That might be clapping my hands in praise. That might be moving my hand up. But these instruments on my body were created to be moved in such a way that they also communicate ideas. I mean, there's a reason I'm lifting my hand.
Amen.
There's a reason I'm clapping. And I'm just going to ask you to get out of your comfort zone and try it. Let it go. With a loud voice, he glorified God. He fell down at his feet. And then notice, please, he gave thanks. He gave thanks. And that's really what set him apart, isn't it? That's what set him apart. That's the top 10% that I'm talking about right there. That's the top 10%. And so I want to ask you tonight, are you seen as a thankful person? In your family, in your place of work, are you characterized as someone that routinely, normally, spontaneously, without prompting, expresses gratitude? Is that a routine part of who you are? Are you part of the top 10%, or are you the other 9? Let's face it. I mean, let's just face it. The way our world is going, there's less and less people that express gratitude. Thank you, please, excuse me, are becoming infrequent instead of normative. And if there's ever a people on the planet that should be the most grateful, it's us. It's us. I want you to think about our very doctrine, what we believe to be true. We believe to be true before the foundation of the world that God chose us outside of anything that we ever did. Nothing, nothing. He didn't say, man, you're awesome, great, super duper wonderful. I know you're going to be an awesome Christian. I'm looking forward to seeing all the good things that you're going to do. No. No, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, what's it say? Finish it for me. While we were yet sinners. 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 Now the very next words communicate the oddity even more. See it there? What was he? He's a Samaritan. May I remind you tonight of something you already know to be true, but let me just remind you, the disdain the Samaritans had, the Jews had for the Samaritans, went all the way back to the division of Israel after the death of Solomon. Solomon dies, and Rehoboam is now the next king. And Rehoboam, instead of decreasing the tax burden, sticks it to him even more. The 10 northern tribes say, enough of this ridiculous nonsense. We've had enough of this overbearing kings. We're going to start our own kingdom. So they move the capital city to Samaria, and they separate. It's not long before the Jews are marrying with the Assyrians, and suddenly we have what is negatively called half-breeds. The true Jews that maintain their ethnicity by only marrying other Jews from the tribe of Judah and Benjamin disdained the Samaritans. They were considered to be traitors of the faith. Traitors. So look what Jesus is doing here. The traitor is giving thanks. The true Jews, the nine, they move on. What is going on? Upside down is this? How bad is the apostasy in Israel? How bad is it that the only one that comes back to give thanks is the stranger, the foreigner, the Samaritan, the half-breed? That's the question he asks. He doesn't just ignore it. He calls to our attention. Jesus says in verse 17, were not there 10 cleansed? I mean, 1, 2, 7, 8, there were 10, right? And he says, where are they? I have written in my notes, the most thankful people on the planet should be Christians. It is an indictment on Christianity when Christians are characterized as being ungrateful. An indictment. There shouldn't be anyone in the city of Fayetteville that is more thankful on a regular routine basis than us. That ought to be routine for us. We go to the bank, we go out to dinner, we go to the car wash, we go to the mechanic. It just need routine for us. We're just routinely, thanks, thank you, thank you very much. Thanks. I appreciate that. What a testimony. Think about how many people a cashier at Harris Teeter waits on all day long, a cashier at Walmart waits on all day long. Think about how many people go through their checkout lines, and then you are the little fly on the wall with your counter, and you just count who says thank you. And so let's wrap it up. Verse 19. And he said unto them, him rather, arise, go thy way. Notice what he says next. Thy faith has made thee whole. Now the word whole here is a very interesting word. It is the exact same Greek word that's normally translated save. Normally translated save. Like this scripture, for example, Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save their people from their sins. Same word. Or how about this one? Matthew 18:11, for the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. So what really was Jesus saying on that day? Will we be able to go at that glorious time after the judgments have occurred in heaven and now we get to spend all eternity together? Will we find that leper? Will we meet him and hang out with him? Is that what was communicated here? I believe it was. Thy faith has made thee whole. So let's turn to 2 Timothy 3 and we'll be done. Let's look at one more passage of scripture and then we'll be done. 2 Timothy 3. And we'll pray and we will go enjoy much to be thankful for. 2 Timothy 3, Paul writes, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. There'll be covetousness. They will be boasters. We'll see that they become more and more arrogant, blaspheme of God and all that is holy will occur on a regular basis. Children will be more and more disobedient to their parents. And then verse 3, there'll be a lack of natural affection. Covenants will be broken on a regular basis. Men will falsely accuse each other of all kinds of things. They'll be despisers of all that is good. They are traitors. They are high-minded. They are lovers of pleasure more than themselves. In verse 5, they have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. What a list. You see it? What a list. How many would say we're there? If we're not there, we're well on our way, aren't we? Now, did you notice what word I skipped over? Did you notice what word I skipped over? Because I did intentionally skip over a word. Did you notice which one I skipped over? Ungrateful. Unthankful. Now, what an amazing thing. I mean, come on, God. Surely you're not putting lovers a loss of natural affection in the same category of me just routinely being an unthankful person. You see it? I mean, what God, what are you doing here, Paul? I mean, come on. They're adulterers. They're murderers. They're lesbians. They're homosexuals. I'm just an ungrateful person. I mean, that's not the same category. I mean, come on, Paul. They violate truces. They go break contracts. They blaspheme the Holy Spirit. I just never say thank you. See that? Isn't that interesting? What are you doing, Paul? Aren't we kind of seeing here? I'll make this final point, we're done. That the abandonment of who God is and his role in my life in every aspect lends itself towards a neglect of being thankful. Because now all of a sudden it's all about me instead of him. You follow what I mean by that?
Amen.
I mean, if I'm not created, I wasn't created. I'm in fact a product of a cosmic explosion. Thank you, Big Bang. That's ridiculous, isn't it? And then I certainly don't have anything to be thankful for, the intellect I have or the natural abilities I have or the athletic abilities I have or the musical talents I have or the beautiful, wonderful wife that God gave me. No, because there is no God. Since there is no God, everything else just falls towards all me. You see where I'm going with that? See, once I acknowledge God's role in my life, the natural outcome of that is gratitude. The mind that I have, the soul that I have, the heart that I have, the conversion that I've experienced, the forgiveness that I've received, the wife that he blessed me with, the husband that he blessed me with, the talents I have, the abilities I have, the dessert I'm getting ready to eat, the generation I was born into, the job I have, the house I live in, the sheets I... Once we put the things in the right perspective, the outpouring of gratitude should be routine part of who we are. So much so that the world ought to be able to tell, he's different. Now think about the world that all you soldiers are living in. Thank you, almost like a sissy word. So you have to work hard to overcome that. There's nothing wrong with you saying, I really appreciate you doing that for me. That is not a feminine thing. But the world wants you to see that, no, that's what girls do and that's what sissies do. And no. That's not true at all. Be part of the top percent. Make yourself different. Express gratitude every chance you get. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I would ask that you would bless the food that we're about to eat. Bless the fellowship that we're going to enjoy. May it be awesome. May we, even as we're in the fellowship center, find someone and express to them gratitude. Someone that we're thankful for, someone that has had an impact in their lives, someone that has done something or is something that impacts us in a special way. And to that we are thankful. Help us to make this part of our Thanksgiving tradition. Words will be used to express gratitude. Help all of us in this room that are fathers, leaders, to be seen as grateful. May our children not wonder, are we grateful? Like, I've never heard my dad express Thanksgiving, so I'm not really sure. Let's change that. God, give us the grace to change that. In Jesus' name, amen.